Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, my beautiful people.
Wait.
I'm going to carry on talking to you guys because Kultun loves to stare at herself, Malmahan. But I just want to say that Ramadan Mubarak. And guys, a lot of you have been messaging and saying, I can't hear you, Hada, because you keep moving around. So I've decided to sit still today.
Her hands are underneath the table.
I'm sitting on my hands, so there's going to be no movement of this mic and no movement of my body.
You're in detention right now because you can't sit still.
I can't sit still. I do need some ADHD pills. I wonder how they would make me feel. But guys, let's talk about your first week of Ramadan.
How's it going?
Guess what?
You're not fasting.
I'm not fasting.
Oh, that's so cheeky. Do you know what she does?
Na, boo.
Do you know what? It's peak for you.
It is.
Last 10 days.
I've got no break. No, I don't have a period in the last 10 days.
Why not?
Because my darlings, I've checked on the app and it's going to come the week of Eid.
Oh, that's quite nice.
The week after Eid.
That's actually quite nice.
I mean, I will be fasting from here on moving forward.
All the way to the end.
All the way to the end.
That's like three solid weeks of fasting.
But you know what? This Sanad Khan, this year.
This is your test.
This is, no, it's not my test. I'm actually, guys, I'm really sad that I'm not fasting. Because can we just talk about our Ramadan plans, yeah? The hand has already come out. I'm so excited. Right, so my Ramadan plan, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Allah wants me to have
it. Put your hands down. Put your hands
down. No, my hijab's falling off and I don't want my fat neck to come out. So listen to me. Okay, guys. So what I want to focus on this year, yeah, and I want you to basically just listen to me here and let me know if I'm going crazy or if this is a sign. Okay. So last 3 weeks, I've basically tried to change up my TikTok algorithm, right? To not, I want religious stuff, but I've basically been sensing that like whenever there's something wrong with me or like I feel like something isn't going well in my life, a random video on TikTok will like talk about what I'm feeling. Now, I know that's giving very main character energy, yeah?
No, but I agree.
No, wallahi,
yeah? I agree.
And then I started sensing it 3 weeks ago. So I'm like, started talking about delaying prayers, started talking, I know I'm exposing my sins, but you know, I'm doing better. But you know, this is educational.
It's not exposure. Do you know what it is? We're all working towards the same goal here.
Right?
It's a group effort.
Exactly. So basically,
we're identifying problems and finding solutions.
Right? Thank you, Kultun, for simplifying that. I love that. Anyway, so things like delaying prayers, things like feeling, always thinking negatively of Allah and feeling like he doesn't want you, he's not going to forgive you, all that stuff. Anyway, I'm just getting videos that are just fighting back with my nafs.
Bang, bang, bang.
The videos are basically refuting everything my little mind believes.
The little shaitan in your head.
The little shaitan in my ear.
That
is
mother beep.
That beep, that's locked up.
They won't let me.
That man, that's locked up. I hope they don't let him out. You know the one, the shaitan that's specific to me. I really hope they don't let him out because the peace that I feel now that he's gone.
Wallahi, Hada, the actual peace that I feel. I can't even speak about it because it's like, I feel lighter.
Wallahi.
Don't you just feel just like something has changed? Something has shifted inside.
Can we just talk about the fact that shaitan is like, he's so potent. But before I'm going to come back.
He's like a smog. And like now the smog's disappeared.
He like, when I'm praying, he's in my ears. I can feel him whispering and just putting mad ideas in my head.
He's putting memories in my head.
Memories, doubts, like things that I haven't thought about in ages. A person that I had a random argument with.
Literally.
Like, so much. And like anxieties that I have. And I literally have to be like, Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem on my left shoulder, just so he'll leave me alone while I'm praying. And then when I'm normal, is he there?
No, do you know what he does to me? It's like, let's say like, I'm reading a surah in my salaya. So my lips are moving, but my mind
is gone.
So I'm like thinking, okay, what am I on now? Am I supposed to, is this the last one? Do I stay down? Like, you know when you're like doing calculations, like what just happened in the last 30 seconds?
Valid.
That's what he does to me.
And in my head, he does confuse me. Did you just say he confuses me? I just want to pray.
He's like a little, like, he's just rude. Like,
he literally comes in and just ruins my entire salah. And then I sit there and I'm thinking, what did I even pray?
He's just taunting us. He's so and he's evil. Probably laughing.
He is.
But right now, we're the ones laughing. Because guess what?
He's locked up.
He's locked up. He ain't coming out.
Anyway, let me carry on. So I'm on TikTok now, right? Mm. Guys, the ADHD is strong in this podcast, okay? You got to hold on, okay? You got to pace yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay, back to TikTok.
So I'm on TikTok now. I'm seeing 10 different stories that relate to me. So the first week, I'm like, rah, this can't be. Maybe this is Allah communicating with me. And I'm like, this is a bit psychotic, Allah. Like, what is going on, right? So then I purposely made my TikTok algorithm not religious, right?
Oh.
Like, anytime a religious video comes on, I move it off because I'm doing an experiment, guys, okay? So all the religious stuff went away, no reminders, nothing. I didn't even have Palestine stuff in my thing, yeah? It was just makeup, random American stuff, yeah? All the conspiracy Kelton listens to.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the week before Ramadan, right? I'm hormonal now, the period's coming, I'm getting mad, emotional anxiety is up there. But I'm holding on to the salah, literally. Usually, if I wobble,
it's like a fumble.
I have a period and I'm like, oh, okay, you gotta go back. Yeah, but this time, even if I fumbled, I'm like, I'm going back every day, fighting.
Yeah.
The shaitan's in my head. Like, guys, I'm thinking about stuff I haven't thought about in years.
Oh, no.
I'm having mad anxiety. And then guess what? My algorithm, back to back videos.
Sends you a sign.
It sends me a sign. And this time I'm feeling emotional. I'm like, oh my God, like just being religious in this country is so hard. Like, how do people even pray? Like, forget anything else, yeah? Bear in mind, the algorithm had no videos. I'm getting back-to-back videos of this one girl that I sent to the group chat. Her name is Shaba. She's banging, yeah?
Yeah, I've seen her, I've seen her.
Right? She is just refuting everything. Again, I'm like, this is a sign. Allah's telling me he loves me. He's sending me a sign.
I think the same girl did like her Ramadan checklist, the things that she's doing.
Yeah,
to
I sent
Ramadan.
That to the group chat.
Very simplified.
Oh, it was amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Let's talk about your Ramadan checklist.
My Ramadan checklist, more or less the same as Shaber's.
Me too. That's why I was so sad that my period came, because I got the checklist prepared. I cleaned my, what's it called? My prayer garment, everything.
The house.
Good to go on, hang out your stay. And this crimson demon comes.
I love it. It's okay. It's a little break for you.
Yeah, it's all right.
But it's all right. But anyway, in the Ramadan checklist, Shaber really simplifies it. And we're going to share it with you because you guys can actually, like...
Can we just share Shaber's thing? Because honestly, her page has been A1.
We'll share, like, what she said in the checklist because episode's about Ramadan. Anyway, so Shaber's made her Ramadan checklist really simple. Everyone, I'm not going to lie, yesterday I was losing my shit because I was like, panicking. Excuse me for the... swearing, but I was losing it because I was like, I'm not ready. What do I do? I go on TikTok, boom, sign, Shaber. If you guys haven't yet prepared for Ramadan, don't worry, I got you.
We love a girly.
And I was like, okay. So I literally made a note. I've got loads of stuff in this shit because I'm not like, got loads
for the girlies, go.
Okay, so she said, every day before Fajr, you've got to pray 2 units of Tahajjud, just two. 2 units of Tahajjud before Fajr. My question is, Shaber reckons you've got to wake up 45 minutes before Fajr to pray the 2 units.
Right, let's get the pillars app out because we're gonna time this for everyone.
Yeah, we've got
this
to
This is
be
for
specific.
The people in the UK specifically. Others, you've got to
check your own apps.
Check your own apps, unfortunately. So Fajr is 4:49.
Yeah.
You're waking up
4 o'clock.
Yeah,
you more can, or less.
More or less. Or like 3:45.
2 rakats of Tahajjud, she says. And then you go and eat, go about your day, and then you go back and pray Fajr, right? She said, eat suhoor every single day. Now, I really struggle with that.
I think I'm going to be okay, because you know what I'm doing this suhoor? I'm having a You know that green thing that I bought? Those green juices?
Oh, FS Greens?
Yes. Yeah. I'm having that in a smoothie every night. Mm. And then I'm just going to keep it a buck and have some water. I'm not even going to have anything crazy. Shake. Yeah. Or like an egg.
Because I have, it's not like a protein, it's like a meal replacement shake. I might have one of those.
Or like you can have boiled eggs, things like that. Things that all like keep your energy up, but it doesn't spike your insulin.
Oats is good. Anyway, I really struggle with it. My mum was like to me last night, oh, do you want some rice? I was like,
no, guys, we've got to stay away from things like that.
Because do you know what it does? You're just going to be so gassy throughout the day. Like every single salad you're doing with you for that.
Like, you're going to be gassy. Your insulin is going to probably spike up midday. And then you're going to feel so tired, bloated.
So keep it light. Keep it, you know, protein. Keep it cute. Yeah, keep it cute.
Keep it cute.
Okay, so she said also, I just put in that, she said this in somewhere else, but I just put it in here because I thought it was really important. So my thing is, in the last like year and a half, I've been feeling really anxious, just randomly. I get very anxious. My fingernails are like paying for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she said, if you want to relinquish anxiety, she said it's really good to be making constant istighfar.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, what the hell? Like, istighfar, like, come on.
Honestly.
And then I was like, what's the link between istighfar and anxiety? And she was like, obviously, you feel anxiety for the things that you don't have any more control over. So she said, if you constantly make istighfar, then obviously it's going to just take away that like heaviness from your heart. And it's so true.
So valid.
So true. She said, read some Quran.
Yeah. What's a good app for the girlies?
For
istighfar. You've got a really good one. It's called Dhikr.
Yeah, there's a really good app called Dhikr and Dua. So Dhikr and Dua is more, it's like a Hisn al-Muslim.
It's so good though. I got it recently.
Yeah, and do you know what
I
like?
For morning and evening, it bangs.
It bangs, but do you know what I really like? He's got the audio.
Yeah, you can listen.
And I'm just reading along. I'm like tap, tap, tap. You know the one, you've got to say three times.
Yeah.
Tap, tap, tap. Move on to, and it goes on to the next one for you.
Indeed.
It's really interactive.
On the like, app store, it's called Dhikr and Dua.
And Dua, yeah. Dhikr and Dua. We'll put it in the
In the YouTube description.
There we go.
Carry on.
So there's Dhikr and Dua, which is so super user-friendly, you guys will love. I don't have a Quran app. I usually just stick to hard copies.
I use Quran Explorer, if I'm honest, but it might work. Hard copies might work for everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
She said, keep your tongue wet with dhikr. I always forget to do this.
I forget to do dhikr as well.
Yeah. But it's all right.
Oh my God. ADHD moment. This girl was talking about her mother. May Allah have mercy on her, on TikTok. Guys, everything's TikTok, but move on. It's TV.
It's Netflix.
And the woman, mashallah, she was like, her mum recently passed away. And she had, you know those
clicky things.
With the number, right?
That records how many times she said.
Yeah, so her mum's been using that for dhikr. We don't know how long, but she's using that for dhikr. And the girl basically showed how many dhikr her mum did. She did 90,000, guys.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And like that was her goal. And just before she died, she got to 90,000. Allahumma barik.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. I know when I can barely do
like
one.
10. But you know something.
But we are trying.
Should I give you a really good. So I was listening to this podcast today. Imam Umar Suleiman, it's a bit of a tongue twister, has said that in the podcast, if you are constantly making dhikr, it's like there's a connection between the dhikr that you're making and it going up to the throne.
Oh, wow.
And basically, like, the dhikr is going to essentially say to Allah that this you're doing.
Your servant's remembering
you. Your servant's remembering you.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really, really good.
I love that.
Do you know what I mean? He said it in such a great way.
It's not banging.
It's not banging. But he basically said that, like, because, you know, when you think about these things, I was thinking, how the hell does dhikr travel up, number one?
Yeah.
Number two, I'm thinking, why is it at the throne? Like, and then I was like, my dhikr is basically going up to the heavens, to the throne, and basically saying to Allah, your servant's making dhikr right now. Like, that's crazy.
And Allah remembers you.
And Allah remembers you. He's going to remember you as the servant that was, like, glorifying him randomly while you're walking down the street. Literally. The crazy thing is, all of that is going up in the going on in the heavens.
Guys, sometimes my mind explodes to if the veil was lifted from my eyes to the unseen.
Oh my God.
Or like, I'm thinking about some sci-fi stuff where like, we've got Dickhead going up to the heavens, we've got angels on my shoulders, we've got angels randomly around, then we've got these little devils everywhere.
Yeah.
Like the world would look insane.
And I just think, alhamdulillah.
That's Allah's mercy.
Yeah, that we can't see that. Because no. It's crazy.
I don't think our mind could comprehend it.
I don't think so either. We'd go into...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back. Let's finish the checklist for the girlies. And I'm going to stop talking.
Write a list of dream du'as and read before you break your fast. That's so cute. Aww.
And just before you break your fast as well. I love that. I never even thought of that because I'm just like, oh, I'm jumping on the food.
I know. So cute. I'm just reading the, you know, the du'a that you read before you break your fast. Yeah. And I'm
jumping. Like, but no,
animal.
This year.
We're taking our time,
we're taking
honey.
Our time. I'm not even eating my meal until after I pray.
We're taking our time. We're gonna look at that food. Before we eat that food, we're making du'a.
Indeed.
So anyway, she said your dream du'a. So she means like your most delusional, otherworldly, like things beyond your wildest dream type du'as. Yep. She said read those before you break your fast.
Cool.
So I thought that was really interesting because obviously those du'as are accepted.
I hope so. I just feel like I'm really angry with myself because I've wasted so many Ramadans before, and this Ramadan I've got some eagerness about me. And I'm just trying to
with
get
your
it.
Fast self.
With my fast. I'm just eager. I've got a thirst for knowledge.
Inject it in me.
Inject it in me. And it's a good thing because like usually Ramadan was like a chore to me.
Yeah.
And it's not anymore. Like I'm just excited about like
just little things.
Just small things.
Small things that we
like
should be
this
doing.
Year, I'm taking this year I made a promise to myself. I said I'm going to Tarawih at least 2 times a week, yeah. And I'm taking those kids with me.
Take them. Oh, this is going
to
be so good.
Because they've got to learn. They've got to come in a masjid. Like, what is this?
You've got to counteract the madness that they're learning in the school.
With the masjid
with
stuff.
With the masjid stuff.
Like, I used to have my most amazing memory. and this is a core memory I remember. It was 2015. I was like mid uni, like first or second year of uni, and I was doing tahajjud with my mum in Dar es Salaam, and we stayed the whole time till the morning to do, is it called itikaf?
Yeah.
So we stayed the whole night, we were praying.
Is it itikaf?
I
swear itikaf is the one where you stay the whole time.
Yeah, that's what we did.
We slept at the masjid.
We didn't sleep, we were awake. So we were just praying the whole time, and then we left for the morning.
Yeah, so you're not just there for tahajjud. So you guys prayed tarawih.
Then we waited,
and then did tahajjud.
And then we did prayed fajr. Yeah, that's it. That's what we did. And then we left the masjid, and I remember this specifically, and the sun was like rising, and it was like the sky was orange and red and blue, like so many beautiful colors. And then me and my mom are on the 195 bus together, and we look at each other, mom was like, tonight is the night. Look at her and I'm like, yes, mum. Tonight, she said it in Somali. She goes, ow, I can feel it, yeah. And then she, in translating English, she was like, tonight, I feel it. I feel
tonight
like it's the night of greatness.
It's the night that I'm feeling all right. No, in all seriousness,
that's like, a cool memory.
I have so many cool memories of your mum's randomly in Dar es Salaam saying, It's tonight.
Feel it.
The rain, it's rained a little bit. Yeah. It's really still outside. It's tonight.
There's been no craziness.
Yeah.
Until this day, I remember that. Like, I remember that specific day because in that Tarawih, I made a dua to get 2-1. I got 2-1.
How funny.
Why did I aim for a first?
Isn't it so crazy like that our du'as actually evolve as we get older?
Oh no.
Like,
isn't that mad?
Like our
if you can hear my du'as now,
yeah.
What my du'a then was.
In 2015.
So simple.
Like mine was dumb stuff, like please give me a first.
Literally.
Like some or like, what did I used to make du'a for? I used to make du'a for weird stuff all the
time. Please, we've got to finish this checklist.
So we've done write the list of your dream du'as and read before you break fast. She also read your evening acts, obviously 1 + 1 = 2. And then pray 2 units of tarawih after Isha plus witr.
And boom. There's your routine.
And there we go. That's your Ramadan checklist completed for the day. Now, it sounds like a madness, but it really isn't.
No, I think you forgot something. She said something about read Quran. Did she? I didn't hear it, my bad.
Yeah, read Quran is basically like, it's a bit of a given.
Anyway, guys, well, I'm defo following that.
Yeah.
Shaba's put the girls on. Please, girls, go follow her. She's amazing. The way she simplifies things is actually like, it bangs. Anyway, this week we asked you, what is a dua that you made that was answered and how did it transform your life? Right, guys, these are the du'as that you said were answered. She goes, girl, the way that I got married was insane. If you told me that I'll get married to this man, I wouldn't believe you.
Oh, so she has her dream man.
Oh, we love that. That's cute. Someone goes, I got accepted to my dream university in my state and it was the only one that I applied for.
Oh, I love that for you. So, although cutting it a bit close, isn't it?
I know, but I love that.
I love that you put your trust in Allah and you just got it.
And someone goes, the dua for a new job within 4 months, I left an inpatient psychiatric ward and got a job in the community. Girl, praise you.
Praise you.
Because that place is hell, I tell ya.
Is she an NHS girlie?
I think she's an NHS girlie.
Do you know what? Good for her.
Good for her, you did well. Mm. Someone goes, inspired by Adar, I asked Allah to take me to Umrah this year and had no plan, but he found a way.
Oh, that's so nice.
We love Adar.
Oh my gosh, shout out to Adar for inspiring the girlies.
I know.
Should we put that in our delusional du'as, Adar?
Should we go Umrah?
Oh my God, imagine we go together with our mahrams.
Amazing.
With our family. Oh my God.
We should bloody plan for that. To go Hajj with my parents, I did it last year, alhamdulillah. I think one of my dream goals is to take my mum to Hajj.
Yeah.
It's one of my goals. Someone goes, the dua of Musa alayhi salam. She was like, ya Allah, I'm in need of any good you would send down to me.
Yeah, that's a very good.
That's an amazing dua.
That's a very good dua.
Someone goes, I asked.
It's a big boy dua.
That's like when you're in desperation, boy.
Yeah. That's my job interview dua.
Someone goes, I asked last Ramadan to help me to put on my hijab, even though my family was concerned. The next day, I became a hijabi.
Oh, that's so cute. This is so sweet. This is just positive, wholesome vibes.
Oh, and that's it. That's all the du'as that I have. Have you got any for me?
Have I made a du'a that's come true?
Yeah.
I feel like most of the du'as in my life have come true. And the ones that have been delayed are the ones where it's like they could make me rich. But I don't think Allah wants to make me rich, do you know what I mean? Because yeah. I don't think I'm responsible.
I don't think I want to be rich. It scares me. I just want to live within my means.
Yeah. I'm really happy right now. But sometimes I do make delusional du'as for like immense amounts of wealth.
Insane.
But then what happened was the other day I saw this TikTok that said that basically if you make above 5 million in any institution, yeah, let's say, for example, you start generating that much income. In the TikTok, it basically said,
wahbajira. Isn't there something wrong with you?
No, not something wrong with you. Basically that you've sacrificed something.
Oh my God.
I'm being serious. Now,
why?
I looked at that and I said, you know what? 5 million? I actually don't need it.
I don't need 5 million.
I don't need it.
All I need is give me 500K a year and I'm good. That's nothing.
Did you say 500K a year?
Yeah.
If it's below 5 million, because above 5 million, that's when it starts to get murky.
That's when people don't know, you know, what sacrifice has been made. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, that's when Iblis is involved.
What you're trying to say, Jeff Bezos.
Iblis'd out.
No.
Absolutely.
But Amazon's Iblis'd out. Amazon's an amazing idea. What, Netflix?
Listen, do you know what it is? It's not so much like the journey of how they came up, because everyone's come up journey is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's what they choose to do with their wealth and income once they're there. Right. Now, we don't know who Jeff Bezos has got in chokehold at the moment. We don't know. Amazon workers earning pittances. Do you know what I mean? The structure of his business isn't ethical. But I don't want to look into it too much. I really don't want to go in there, because once I go down those rabbit holes.
You go down those rabbit holes, you don't come back.
You don't come back. Mm-hmm. You start discovering there's there's things
craziness
that,
everywhere. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, alleged,
because you know, this little tiny podcast, we ain't trying to get sued.
So anyway, I don't make to earth things like that. I make to earth for like you know, like just clean soul, heart. Do you know what I mean? Less anxiety. I usually make to earth for my dead parent, relatives, grandparents, etc. I make to earth for, obviously, these are the things that I don't know if they're getting accepted though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know right now if my dad is protected in his grave. Allah on Harry Stone.
Oh my God, I was listening to that today. I've got a beautiful story for you.
Okay, hit me.
ADHD hit again. I'm so sorry. But you know what, guys? We're all fasting. Let's just carry on. Do you know what I mean? What a caveat. Don't you love that word, caveat?
Mm-mm.
So the story is, you can listen to this on YouTube if I ruin this story for everyone. We're actually not following our podcast plan today, but we ride, okay? So the story was, I heard the story from Bilal Asad, who's my fave. May Allah have mercy on him always. And he basically... and he told the story. It's on YouTube. It's called Ahmed the Repenter.
Ooh.
And it's just, this story, it affected me, right? But I believe it affected me because also I'm on my period, so I'm a bit emotional. And last time I said something affected me, Kultum was like, you get too emotional about stuff when I was talking about one day. But this one's going to affect you. Listen.
Yeah, but one day is not real.
This is real.
That's
life.
What I'm saying. This would affect me. If I knew the story is real, I'd be affected.
Tell you about reality.
One day, one in commitment phobia. So I'm a commitment phobic man that basically had this woman spinning around and then she died. Like, it's not a good depiction.
Okay, listen, the story is real. So I'm going to paraphrase. So if you want to listen to the full story, it's 30 minutes long. Bilal, I said, that is a good 10K walk, I'm telling you.
All right, go on, hit me.
The story starts with this man. His name, going to name him Ahmed. He's rich, he's got money. He is, let's say, from Saudi Arabia. He makes a lot of money. Well, his family made a lot of money, he said. And he's living a good life, you know. He's very pious, he's married, he's got children. But something in this man, he just felt like, you know what? He was like, I just felt like I was missing something, right? So the sheikh that's telling the story basically said, Ahmed basically one day decided, he was like, I feel like I'm missing out. I'm going to go and explore and see what other people are up to, basically. So he goes off now, books a plane, goes somewhere. I don't know the location of where the guy went, Ahmed. Anyway, this is how Ahmed and the sheikh meet each other. So Ahmed, bear in mind, he had a very good life. He was happy with his life. He knew about Allah. He was praying and everything. And then suddenly he was like, I'm just not getting... there's a je ne sais quoi missing, basically, yeah? So he went to go search for that je ne sais quoi that was missing. So the sheikh...
He needed to be humbled because he was getting arrogant.
We don't know. Oh. Anyway, the sheikh...
So there's more to that. There's something's happened.
Yeah, the story has just begun. What do you mean? So the sheikh basically says, I'm in the airport now. He was like, I've come back from a conference of some sort. And he was like, I've left the airport. I'm going back to Riyadh and I just need somewhere to stay. So he was like, I went to go look for a small hotel. He goes, I get to this area, get to this little hotel. He goes, I walk into the hotel and like just people are partying like it's a club, it's a shibs, people are getting lit in this hotel, right?
Damn.
So then a man sees the sheikh and the sheikh's like, listen, I'm really tired. I need to rest for one day before I go on my flight tomorrow. Can you please let me stay? The man's like to him.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And this place ain't for you. It's got madness happening up in here. I think you should go somewhere else. The sheikh looks around. He's like, say no more. He walks off now. He basically goes back to the airport and like he prays his prayers or whatever. No, astaghfirullah. The sheikh said that he slept on a bench.
Mm-hmm.
Is it me?
I'm worried about the doof-doof, yeah.
So the sheikh goes, That night, he didn't stay in that place. He slept on a bench. And the next day, I think he went to the airport. He goes to the airport now. He gets through security and he goes to the, you know, the little prayer corners that they pray in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To sleep for a little bit before his flight comes. Cute. Right. This man goes, the sheikh goes to sleep. And like, he's like, he wakes up and there's this man like praying next to him. But he's just like bawling his eyes out, crying. Like, wow. Like someone died. That's how like violently he was crying. Yeah. Oh, the sheikh is like, rah, okay. He just goes back to sleep. Right. As you do.
He just thought
that the man had good, he had like amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He thought he was.
The iman was high, you know, yeah. Let him be. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to interfere between him and Allah.
Yeah, he thought he's got soft heart.
Yeah, exactly. The sheikh goes to bed, wakes up again. Yeah. This is around dhuhr time, he said. And the man is still crying. So the sheikh speaks to him. He's like, what's going on? He's like, what's happened? The man looks like he's starving. His eyes are red. He looks like he's been crying for like 2 days. The man shares his story. The man is Ahmed.
Allah. Okay?
Ahmed says.
Wait, the guy crying was Ahmed?
Yeah.
So how come the sheikh never recognized him?
Because the sheikh never knew Ahmed. He only met Ahmed in the airport. But the sheikh knew about the story of Ahmed and where it started. And it started with Ahmed in Saudi Arabia having a good life. And he thought, let me go look for this je ne sais quoi.
Right. And then obviously the sheikh is communicating with Ahmed, but they haven't actually seen each other.
So this story happened and the sheikh knows Ahmed now and he knew Ahmed's story. So he's the one that's retelling the story.
Right. I thought Ahmed was looking for hotels for him.
No. Ahmed, you weren't listening. No, Ahmed was not looking for hotels.
I know, you know one thing about me. It's like, I will listen. When the story starts getting juicy, that's when I'm like.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But the whole like lead up, I'm like.
Okay, do you understand now?
Yeah.
Okay, where are we on? So Ahmed's crying. He is in the airport. He's howling. The sheikh's like, what's happened? What's wrong? Like, Allah can forgive anything. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Ahmed's like, listen, I had a good life. My life was great. And he was like, I decided to do something and it's ruined me. And he's like, he's having this like deep awakening. He doesn't know what to do. So Ahmed, the sheikh's like to him, tell me what happened, Ahmed. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. You need to go listen to the full story.
Did he sign a contract?
No. No, he didn't sign a contract, you psycho. You're so obsessed. Yeah. You know when Khaltoon gets to Jannah, guys, the first thing she's gonna do is sit down and get all the tea.
About every single conspiracy.
She's gonna get all the tea.
I need to know what's real and what's not, because at this, well, like, one thing I pray for her, there's clarity and ease. I swear to God, because I don't feel ease because of all the crap that's happening.
The
that
first
I don't really
date
know
in
about.
Jenna, she's going to be like, wham, did he? Did he really do it? She's not even going to be like flying with the rest of us.
Who was on Epstein Island?
Who's upset? Tell me, who killed Epstein? That's what she wants to know. Anyway, now you really interrupted me. We need to stop this ADHD cult on.
Go on.
Where was I?
You were on, so the sheikh and Ahmed have come together. Ahmed done a madness.
Ahmed's explaining. He was like, listen, I was feeling a type of way. He was like, all my life I've been praying. I had a good life. My life was easy. I had money. I have a wife. I have kids. And he was like, I just wanted to explore what other people were doing. So he was like, I met with these guys. They took me somewhere to another country. They obviously went abroad, yeah?
And
Ahmed was... Can you relax, okay? Ahmed was like, listen, they basically had a party. Like, Ahmed was getting lit, okay, which is not a good thing. Ahmed was getting lit. He wasn't used to that life. And this is what Ahmed said. Ahmed said, yeah, he would never do anything mad. He would never drink alcohol.
Good.
He would never do anything mad. But guess what?
He
was just enticed by his environment. Ahmed was a married man. And in the end, what happened? Ahmed met this woman. She was flirting. He was flirting back.
Mm-mm.
Everyone in the group was chilling. Ahmed goes to a room in his hotel. He just wanted to talk. Bada bim, bada boom. Ahmed
ABC
commits.
ABC 123.
ABC 123. And you know, Ahmed did the salsa. He did the rumba.
Oh dear.
Ahmed. Oh dear. Ahmed did a madness and he committed zina, which he never wanted to do. And he was like, the moment he did it, yeah, the moment the act of zina finished and he got up, the moment of clarity, that's what they call it, yeah.
Post clarity.
And he got up. He was like, he had this immense, it's like he woke up. It's like the veil was taken off. Like he saw what he did, like he committed a major sin, right?
Yeah.
So Ahmed had like a religious awakening, like he was, he reacted. He was so guilty.
No way.
It was so bad.
Oh, that's so, like, at least it shows how much of a cool guy he was.
Nah, but Ahmed, it gets worse, darling.
Well, Ahmed goes to
Riyadh.
Because once you get a taste for that, once you pop, you just can't stop.
Anyway, listen, Ahmed tells the sheikh is calming him down. He's like, listen, calm down, relax, don't worry. You can ask for Toba, you can get over this, boom, 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 right? Ahmed goes back to Riyadh.
I feel so bad for Ahmed. You know what?
You're a cow. Stop laughing.
I'm not laughing at
him. Are you laughing at
him? Well, like, you know what I'm laughing at? I'm just laughing at, like, bless him. Like,
that's what I'm saying. This is how mad the story is. Now, you got to listen, yeah?
Okay.
Because this is so normalized to us that people commit zina and it's not a major thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Ahmed did a bad thing.
Ahmed goes back to Riyadh now, okay? And he sees the sheikh like months later. He's still crying. He's still depressed. He's guilty. He's like, his life, he's like had a crisis, a religion crisis. He doesn't know what to do. The things that he's saying to the sheikh, he comes to the sheikh and he's like to him, listen, thank you so much for helping me while I was at the airport that time. But he was like, now I wanted to see you and now I've seen you again. I'm going to hand myself in to the Saudi government to get stoned.
No, what?
Right? That's how, like...
Is that how guilty he felt?
That's how guilty he felt. It was crazy.
That is a sign of Iman.
It's a sign of Iman. So then the sheikh is holding on to him. He's like, are you mad? Like, are you okay? He was like... What's wrong with you? Repent, ask Allah for forgiveness. Like, Allah has mercy. Like, you don't know. Like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to end your life to get forgiven for something. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So the sheikh is like, Ahmed's serious. He's like, you need to let go of me. This is what I'm going to do. The sheikh is holding on to him. The sheikh's like, listen, furthermore, we're going to go to another scholar who understands more about this. And you can tell him your story. And then we'll get back to it, yeah? Ahmed goes off now with the sheikh.
Because you know Ahmed's in that moment where he's got a thought in his mind and he's running with it, like he can't see any way out of his situation. Do you get it?
Yeah.
It's like he's touched the fire, and now he feels like shit.
Ahmed is going through it, man.
Excuse my French.
Ahmed's going through it. Ahmed, the sheikh, I think the scholar, encourages him to go do Hajj to seek forgiveness. Ahmed agrees. The sheikh goes to him, do you want me to come with you? Ahmed's like, no, I'm going to do it on my own. Sheikh and Ahmed do Hajj separate times, but the sheikh sees him in Hajj. And he's like to him, he's like waving at him. He's like, Ahmed, come, come. And they're at the part of Hajj where you're throwing the stones, right? And he's like to him, hi, Ahmed. Like he's trying to wave at him. Ahmed runs away. The sheikh comes back to him. He's like, listen, well, go on, Ahmed. What happened? Ahmed's like, listen, why are you even coming near me? Like I'm impure. Like, you don't know who I am, what I've done. It's disgusting. Don't come near me. You guys are pure souls. The sheikh is going mad now. He's like, listen, I don't know how to help you.
I really like this retribution, though. I like that Ahmed's so self-aware.
I know, but he was like, I don't know how to help you. You need to relax, seek help from Allah, have patience. In the end, right,
Ahmed
was dismoral.
Oh, no.
He lost all his faith. Like, he was going hard. He was praying. He was in the masjid. He was making tawbah. He was doing everything. In the end, right? And I'm going to read this to you.
If it's something sad, I don't want to know.
It's not sad. You got to wait.
Did he commit suicide? Trigger warning. Because I can't.
Anyway, in the end, right? Ahmed did everything that he could, right? And then he's sitting in the masjid really sad. And the sheikh finally meets him again, and the sheikh basically says, Ahmed, basically he's going through a lot of depression, he's very low because of what happened, but also because he feels like Allah won't ever forgive him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's reading the Quran back to front, he's memorized everything, he's doing everything,
but he's going down a self-destructive
route. Going down a horrible route, he's going down a very depressive route, right? And then the sheikh basically has a chat with his other sheikh friend, and the sheikh friend gives him a verse And that verse awakens the Sheikh because he's like, this is proof to Ahmed that Allah forgives. Like, he needs to relax. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So the Sheikh runs from wherever he is with that man and he runs to the masjid where Ahmed is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He runs to him. And then Ahmed basically is sitting there like depressed. Like, he's sat in the same place that he's always sat in. And the Sheikh basically reads this verse to him and he says in the verse, and those who do not invoke with Allah another deity or kill a soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed except by right, and do not commit unlawful sexual intercourse, and whoever should do that will meet a penalty, right? Mm-hmm. So then Ahmed's like thinking that's pierced his soul. He's like,
a penalty?
He's like, rah, that's a penalty. Like, it's not telling me anything good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So then the Sheikh, he's like, hold on, stop.
Churchy,
I need to finish. So the Sheikh's like, let me carry on. So the Sheikh goes, multiplied for him is the punishment of the day of resurrection, and he will abide there in humiliated.
Oh dear.
Ahmed's like, rah, you're not helping me. What's going on? The Sheikh's like, wait. He goes, except for those who repent, believe, and do righteous work, for them Allah will replace their evil deeds with good.
Oh.
And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. And then Ahmed burst into tears, guys. Oh, he collapsed.
Happy tears, tears of joy.
Ahmed burst into tears. He collapsed. He was like, I've read the Quran back and front. Why have I not come across this verse? But the thing is, he has come across the verse, but he was too like in his negative state to even
sometimes
think about
you don't,
it.
You can't comprehend like the good things about a certain verse until you're in a stable situation yourself, mentally stable. He wasn't mentally stable.
At that point, that guilt really took over him. Anyway, in the end.
How sad, isn't it? Oh, sometimes people frantically go through the Quran trying to find an answer and you'll never see it.
Until it's meant for you.
Until it's meant for you to see it.
Anyway, that verse made him feel better. Ahmed was happier. I don't want to ruin the ending for you, but you know.
That is snippet-worthy storytelling.
So in the end, Ahmed embraced that. He felt happy again. But then shortly after, Ahmed gets sick and he's in the masjid and he passes away in the masjid in that same spot. Not on that same day, but another time that he was reading the Quran, and his dad told him to come get the Sheikh. So I think the Sheikh was meant to meet with Ahmed or something. And then what happened was his dad told his brother, go find Ahmed in the masjid. And obviously the brothers found him deceased.
Yeah.
So then they go to his janazah prayer and the Sheikh sees his face and he was like, his face was just noor. Like, he just looks so happy
and peaceful.
Oh, I love
that. Oh my God, I really love that story.
The way I told it was shit, guys. When Bilal Asad teaches this story, it's so good. It's 30 minutes worth of content.
Oh my God, I love that.
Honestly, it's called Ahmed the Repenter. Go check it out on YouTube, girls.
Should we do Prophet Yunus story?
And then we can end it there.
End it with Prophet Yunus. So the story of Prophet, should I make you laugh? I actually opened the Quran today and I thought, you know what? I'm going to find this story. And I read the entire surah of Surah Yunus. And basically this story is the tiniest part of the surah towards the end.
No,
the rest of the surah is just about like, you know, like general themes of the Quran, like basically, you know, people that were trying to create a, people are trying to say that the Quran is like, it's not all that. And then they were like, please produce a book just like it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Anyway, the story of Prophet Yunus as dictated by me. Are you ready? I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to look at my notes. So the bits that I found really interesting, well, there's probably loads of bits that I'm missing out. But what happened was, the crux of it was, obviously Prophet Yunus was supposed to essentially, so there's like this town or city near Iraq. Mm-hmm. And it's called Nineveh.
Okay.
I think I've butchered that pronunciation. Nineveh. Correct me if I'm wrong, girls. Anyway, so he was sent to these people because these people were not necessarily being good.
Okay.
So obviously Yunus comes, he's like, I'm trying, guys, like, come on, let's return to Allah. Let me remind you of what happened in Ad, Thamud, like, what happens to the people of Nuh. We don't want that to happen
to man.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen to us. So he's like, come, guys, like, work with me here. So, but they're like, nah, we don't want to work with you. We just want to do our thing, which is enjoy life.
Madness.
Vibes, yeah. Anyway, what happened was, Eunice kept trying. Alayhi salam kept trying, bless him. He was like, I'm not going to stop. But they were, you know, saying, leave us alone. We're not going to do what you say. Where they're saying to him, like, bun you, he was like, you know what? I've had enough. He left.
Eunice was like, safe.
Yes, safe. You know what? I'm not going to die on this hill, okay. Basically. So he left. And then when he left, he decided to hop on a ship.
Okay.
He hopped on a ship. Now, on the ship, there were other... I don't want to say pirates. That's such a horrible word, isn't it? On this ship, there were other fishermen.
Okay.
There were other fishermen on this ship. Now, they've set sail. So I don't know where they're headed. But during this journey, there was one particular night where there was a big storm.
Okay.
Wishing, washing, gushing, whatever. And what happened was, I think there was too many people on the ship. And what the fishermen used to do back in the day is they would sacrifice someone so that, you know, the load on the ship wasn't as heavy.
Oh, my God.
So it's like what they did was they drew straws.
Oh, was Eunice the one that got eaten by the...
Wait.
Oh, okay.
So what they did was they did something akin to drawing straws. So obviously, you know, Eunice has left his people that yeah. Allah basically said to him, these are the people that you are supposed to... turned towards me. Mm-mm. He said, bun you lot.
I'm not doing this.
He's gotten on the ship. There's a storm. There's a group of men. The men have taken a liking to him, the ones on this ship. They see him as a nice, kind, pious man. Mm. They're like, we're getting along with Eunice, right?
Mm.
And then what happened was the storm, everything's going wrong. So they drew straws.
Okay.
So obviously the short straw is the one that's got to...
get out of the ship.
Yeah, he's got to, do you know what I mean? He's got to take the L.
Okay.
So basically they drew the first name out the hat. Guess what? It's Eunice. So then his shipmates are like to him, nah, like, we're not chucking Eunice off the ship. Like, we like Eunice. Eunice is a good guy. Nah, you're not taking Eunice. Then they were like, okay, let's do it again. So they do it again. Guess what?
Eunice again.
Again, the guy's like, no, like, come on, like, we can find another way, blah, 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 blah. And then he's like, you know what? We're going to do the last draw. And then we're going to have to make a decision. So what happens? They do the last draw. Eunice again. So Eunice is obviously thinking, I left my people them. This is a punishment for me. Like,
yes.
It's a bit peak, isn't it?
It's a bit peak.
So anyway, what happened was, is Eunice...
He goes.
But what happens? Allah sends for a whale to just swallow him up. So he's like inside the whale. And like, it's dark in there. I swear to God, Arthur. In the Wait, I feel like there was something that I missed.
Rev, you need to read it out. I don't know what you're doing.
No. So he's in the whale, because I swear to God, Arthur, this is basically what happened. But then obviously I'm missing out. But there's specific du'as that were read. So basically, anyway, so Allah basically commands the largest whale in the ocean to just come and scoop him up. But in my heart, I feel like that's more as a cushion for him. So as to not feel the wrath of the sea.
And to not die.
Do you know what I mean? Because if you would have just drowned. But anyway, this whale comes. Yeah, so this whale comes, swallows him. Blessed. And you know the people on the boat? Sorry to go back, but the people on the boat were saying, we're not going to get rid of Eunice. He's our blessing on the... Aww. He's our blessing on the boat. So no one wanted to get rid of Eunice. Eunice is a good guy. So yeah.
He's a prophet.
So anyway, so what happened was, so the whale's eating him. Eunice is like, he thinks he's died. He thinks, I'm in my grave right now. The punishment's going to come, but it's not.
Oh my God.
So then he realizes that he's inside something that is fish-like. So I think he just clocks that it's a whale. Mm. He's like deep in the stomach of a whale. So anyway, straight away, when Eunice clocks the situation that he's in, he prostrates to Allah, and like he's saying, like, I'm prostrating to you in a place where no one has ever prostrated to you before. Mm. This is a very unique situation. And then he called out to Allah, saying, you know, like, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And then, yeah, so he's glorifying Allah inside this world. Can you imagine, Hor, that this is a very surreal thing? You're glorifying Allah in the tummy of a whale. You're prostrating inside a whale. Eunice feels a lot of guilt. Yeah. So he, and then eventually what happens is he says to Allah, he says, he makes this really famous dua about him being amongst the wrongdoers because he feels sad for having left his people then back there. So he says to Allah, inside the whale, that he's been one of the wrongdoers. Basically, the dua that he says is, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka in kunta min al-thalimeen. Yeah, proper famous, do you know what I mean? Which is sad because it's like, you know what I mean? He's done a lot of self-reflection inside this whale. He realises it's like, oh my God, like, wow, wow, wow. So when he made this invocation, all the creatures around the whale, all the sea creatures, gathered together because they heard him invoking Allah inside the whale. It's actually so all the sea creatures came together and they basically joined in celebration of the praises of Allah because they can hear Yunus inside the whale making this very sincere, apologetic kind of like statement. And then when obviously Allah then hears Yunus, sees Yunus in this situation, and then what happens is the whale, he's like obviously happy that, you know, do you know what I mean? It's just like Allah's obviously pleased with the praise that he's receiving in this very unique situation. And then he commands the whale to basically go to the nearest shore and then spit him out. So then what happens in the time that Yunus, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, was going through all of this, a situation happened back home. So back home, Allah was obviously really displeased with the people that Yunus was supposed to, because obviously Yunus had left, the people were still doing the madness. So Allah sends like signs of just like, you know what I mean? The sky is probably as loads of thunder. Who knows? I don't know what the signs are per se, but basically the people were very scared of what was going on back then. And they kept thinking, oh my God, Yunus alayhi salam was trying to help guide us. And now he's gone. We really took him for granted. Oh, really? We should have listened to Yunus. At this point, Yunus is probably in the well. He's feeling guilty. He thinks the people are misguided and that he can't help them.
Yeah.
So at this point, people are waking up. Yunus is inside the well. The whale spits him out. Yunus goes back to his people. He's like really apprehensive about this because he's thinking, oh, I'm going to go back to these people. And he goes back and obviously comes back, and then everyone's like, Yunus, like, we had all these signs and stuff while you were away. The sky was like bright red with thunder and lightning. Do you know what I mean? This place was about to be done like Ad and Thamud. But it wasn't, because straight there and then when they saw those signs, the people straight away started thinking about Allah and the punishment, and they started thinking about Yunus, who they did dirty. Yunus comes back. And then, yeah.
Is it all good?
They all praise him. They're like, oh my God, you're back. We missed you. Aww. And that's how the story ends.
We love that.
I butchered that story.
Yeah, you did. But, you know, what can we do?
What can we do? That's the clips. That's Spark Notes, guys. Please, if you really want to go and read the story, go to the surah and read it for yourselves. Because I probably missed out.
You didn't butcher it. I think it was good.
You think? I think I'm a good storyteller.
No.
No.
No. Sometimes you are. But with this one, I think you were nervous.
Do you know what it is? It's like
You've
got to do justice to the story. When it's a specific Quran parable, you're in your head a lot about how you convey the message.
Next week I'm going to do Morse.
Oh my God, I don't think I can do it.
I love Morse story.
I really love Morse story as well, but I don't think I can do it.
I'll do it for you guys. I'll take the L. Guys, let's just quickly talk about Jannah, because we never talk about Jannah.
Oh my God, I love talking about Jannah.
I love talking about Jannah too. Like, I just want to go to Jannah. Ya Allah. Let us all go to Jannah together. All our listeners, everyone that listens to us, all the good Muslimin, please let's enter Jannah together and let's help each other out. Because honestly, just the concept of Jannah alone, it makes me happy now. And I really hope Allah gives me Jannah. Just level one, I don't even care.
I really hope so too. Do you know what? I think we can do it. We have to be hopeful.
Maybe you have to, you know what it is.
We've got to be hopeful, because if we are too unhopeful, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to psych ourselves out of it to the point where we're inactive. We want to be active and we want to be hopeful that that is our destination. We need to like see it to believe. In my mind, I can see Jannah right now.
In my mind, I can see Jannah too.
I can see gardens.
I can see...
beneath which rivers flow.
Oh.
Yeah?
Can we change our rivers? I don't even want a river or a mill.
I want like a river that is the colour of the rainbow with like these little sparkles in it.
Oh my God.
Imagine I can just go... I could just think it and it was there in Jannah. Oh my God.
My God. The concept of Jannah is just, I just want it now. No. The concept of just thinking, I'm there.
Yes, no, I think we have to start thinking positively about this. Smart goals this, remember?
We have to smart goals this. You know, there's this guy on TikTok, yeah, and he was like, in 100 years into Jannah, I want to do an all Avengers, what's it called, games. Wait. Where people have powers.
No.
He's like, basically, I don't know if that's halal though. But it's Jannah. Anything can happen in Jannah.
Jannah is the place where everything is possible.
Ever happens. So he's basically saying 100 years into Jannah, where you've got to meet the prophets, you've already met your families, like now you're just chilling, like you're getting relaxed into your new lifestyle, yeah? He's like, 100 years into that, every 100 years there's going to be a game show for everyone in Jannah to participate in. And someone in the comment section was like, you can tell he was into anime and manga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's trying to do Dragon Ball Z. Like, what
yeah,
is this?
Yeah, I don't know. It's given Hunger Games.
It's given Hunger Games. Also, what if I just said I want to be Goku? That's it. You're all done.
Imagine you suddenly get like yellow hair and you turn into a Super Saiyan. Remember they used to power
yeah,
up?
But you can't hear, you can't, I don't know, the concept
can
of Jannah
I just
is crazy.
Quickly say, on the topic of Goku, the creator of Dragon Ball Z passed away last week.
I know.
That's so
and
crazy.
And he was celebrated in every country in the world.
That's so insane.
Mad.
That guy created, that guy created a cartoon that we were like obsessed over. We used to stand in the living room together holding hands, powering up. Like, that's how crazy it was.
Kameha!
There was one episode, I can't remember if it was the Dragon Ball Z when they were fighting Frieza. I can't remember who it was. They were fighting some big villain. And I think Gohan or Goku, I can't remember which one, spent 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z just powering up.
I remember that. Oh my
it
God!
Was just so funny. Everything's like a new episode and you just see him there like
oh my God. Anyway guys, that is the end of our episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you guys are having an amazing Ramadan. We just want to say we love you guys. Can I just say, we didn't talk about Amsterdam.
Oh my God, we had a great time.
You know what? Join the Patreon and you'll hear what happened in Amsterdam. How about
yeah
that?
Join the Patreon.
Have you guys even joined the Patreon?
Guys, don't forget to sign up to the Patreon. Don't forget to download this episode. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube. Don't forget to leave a review, 5 stars.
And let us know in the comment section of the YouTube or the Instagram snippet that we put out what you guys want for the rest of Ramadan.
No, don't put it in the snippets. The snippet comments are crazy. Send us a DM.
Oh yeah, please just send us a DM.
Send us an email. Don't comment on those snippets,
please. Anyway, have a good evening and we hope the rest of your week goes amazing. We love you. Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.